You're here because you want more. More engagement. More delight. More fun. More learning. You're hungry for change and willing to take action.
If you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original.
Welcome to the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
Let's take learning to the next level.
Hello everybody, this is Anna Sabramowitz, and today we're talking about interactive stories. And also, one of the things we're going to do is teach you how to do this. What are the mechanics? What are the strategies and frameworks that you can use to create your very own interactive story? Now, before I get into the details today, make sure everything's set up so I can see your comments, because I do interact with the audience when I'm able to see. So it's so cool. We've got a whole bunch of people here already. That's great. Say hi. And one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is ask questions. And ask questions. Don't be afraid if you have trouble seeing this in your context, or if you have some questions about, you know, what software or whatever. Just ask the questions, because even if I don't address it directly during the live, guess what? I'm going to be able to probably answer it afterwards. So make sure you post that there. Now, the other thing I needed to bring up today is, yesterday I talked about an interactive story. So probably remember this fabulous diagram, which I hand drew, that's right. So yesterday what we did is we talked about the interactive story, and I suggest you, if you're interested in crafting your own, you definitely go back to yesterday's live session, because it's there posted on my profile. The other thing is if you really want a ton of examples and maybe a more deep dive into the big picture behind this framework, then go to elearningsecrets.com, and then you'll find just a whole a case study there that walks you through this entire process. But today, what I want to get you to explore and possibly apply, and hopefully apply very soon, is the mechanic that is at the base of every interactive story, and that is the pearl, all right? And I've been talking about pearls for a while, and I've been talking about scenarios for much longer than that. But I wanted to get into some fine detail today, because a lot of people are getting this wrong, or they'll email me and they'll say, hey Anna, look, I also made a scenario. What do you think? And I'm like, okay, we need to adjust some things. And the reason I'm also doing this is because I coach people in our interactive storytelling community on how to craft their own interactive stories, and not everybody can afford to work in our community. Now, if you want to get there faster and you want, you know, coaching and implementation guides, and also somebody to kick your butt when you're stuck, that's what it's there for. But in the meantime, if you want to actually do this launch and maybe email me something that you've crafted as a result of learning something through these lives and my and the things that I share, I'd love that too, man. That's why I'm doing this. I want everybody to have their own interactive story to share. So now let's just recap this quickly. All right. So an interactive story is, like I said, super simple, right? Has a beginning, middle, and end, right? And yesterday I really talked about what, like, the big picture overview. How are you using your interactive story? Where, what's its purpose, right? All those things. Today, what we're going to get into is the things that go in the middle. And one of the things that goes in the middle is what we call a pearl. And the pearl is basically at the base of everything that you do in an interactive story. And it's what you begin with, and then you can add on other mechanics, right? And those are the mechanics that I'll also be reviewing later this week. Each day I'm hoping to do a new mechanic for you guys, because that's the cool part, right? Is making this all work. And I want to take away the mystery out of this for you, because this isn't complicated. This is just about being systematic, being focused, iterating, and following through. Like, we're not, these are not things that would be hard for you to grasp, okay? So I want to take the mystery out of that and see what you need to do. The challenge is that sometimes we look at something from when it's finished, and we're so bedazzled by the surface that we don't realize there's a pattern underneath that you can use. And trust me, friends, we are borrowing patterns here from really solid games, amazing storytelling companies like Pixar. And also, the magic happens when you iterate, right? Like, nobody comes up with an amazing story the first time they launch it. They put it out there, it's a hypothesis. And then the idea is to iterate on that, okay? So let's get, without further ado, let's get into the pearl. And if you're interested in crafting an interactive story and this is something that gets you excited, I'd love to hear about it in the comments because that lets me know that this is something that you care about. And if you like this kind of video and you want to see more as I'm launching more and more about the different mechanics, please like it. And then what happens is, it'll probably, next time I'm going live, it'll notify you, all right? So let's get into the string of pearls. Now watch this. I'm gonna make sure you guys all get the, can you see this? I think you can, all right. Here we go. Okay, I'm trying to like see how to, you know, make sure you guys are seeing this. And I printed it this time because, you know, I thought they would be actually sexier looking if it was printed. So. The string of pearls. This is a framework that you'd use to craft a single interaction where your learner needs to make a decision. Now remember, and actually I'll just make this very clear here. In your interactive story, the pearl, where this goes, is in here. So I don't know if you can see that, but it would be this particular piece right there. You see that? And so what happens is the reason we're calling it a string of pearls is because you'd have 5, 6, 9 of these strung together in the middle. And like I said, the reason, what's really cool about an interactive story, you know, you'll hear people talk about storytelling and all these things, but one of the things that they'll tell you is that they'll follow this traditional formula, like you have to have rising action, falling action. No, you don't. What's cool about the fact that we're building in software that allows us to give the learner agency is that each of these is a challenge, and challenges are awesome for our character to develop, you know, the skill or get them to the goal that they want to. And it's a super awesome way for us to basically hack story and also give them a ton of power, which makes this more engaging because choices engage, period, right? So let's get back to the pearl. All right. So Randy's saying, curious how this can apply to very short scenarios. We use mini scenarios as knowledge checks, and then there isn't budget for much branching. They're popular, but very hard to craft to make them engaging. Oh, Randy. I'll tell you, if you follow through and show up to these lives, you'll see how it's actually not as difficult to make them engaging. And branching is an option. So depending on what you want to do, because there is like the way you can use this model is you definitely can take actually this and just have it by itself as a knowledge check. The reason we're wrapping it up in a story is because a story helps somebody finish those, let's say a sequence of 6 scenarios and sells them on the journey of learning. So it's a little bit different. But as far as I'm concerned, the framework for that is exactly the same, okay? So the scenario, I want you to just bear with me here because one of the things that I did before is I would just call it a scenario without really getting to the details of what this means. So a lot of people use scenarios and they think that scenarios are enough. A scenario, what is a scenario? A scenario is the beats of a situation that gets somebody to a decisive moment. So, and the reason I've got it like this is because if you look at, we use a lot of illustrations and let's say comic style punchy sequences, right? They can be, they don't have to be. Sometimes we use video, all kinds of multimedia, right? But one of the things you're trying to do is to get somebody to kind of get the context of a situation in a very punchy way. So we use things like, the reason I'm using beats is because Pixar, in order for you to move through the story, every single scene that they're showing you has to have momentum. So it doesn't lag and it feels like there's action happening. And so basically this, the scenario, one of the biggest things that you're working on when you're crafting your own interactive story is how can I make that as dynamic as possible and make each of these things that I'm telling the learner, setting up the story in a context, that they're as punchy and as momentum driven as possible, and we're going from action to action to action, right? No filler, no he's, you know, driving in the home, then he's in the home, then he opens the fridge door. Now we're trying like John leaves work, then he's at home and he gets confronted by his wife. There's no, like, our mind is able to fill in the stuff in between, right? So we are trying to make this as concise and punchy as possible. Why? Because people don't care about our stuff. We begin every single of these projects with the idea that no one cares. That's the truth, right? That's how we begin it. So how can we hook them in? How can we make it dynamic? And it's not about making it simple. It's not about making it, dumbing it down, not at all. It's about making it action-packed so that when they get to the decisive moments, they're very excited. And it's also the decisive moment is such that it makes them feel like they're really driving that. It's not a wimpy decision. It actually means something, right? So like I said, this is very much a contextual situation. We're not talking about pirates, leprechauns, princesses, nothing like that. We're talking about how dynamic and emotionally charged the real world context is, and that's what we're replaying here. So then we get from the scenario, we go to the decisive moment where a situation, all of this has been used to set up saying, what are you gonna do next, right? Or what's John gonna do next? Or what's Randy gonna do next, right? And then we give them choices. Now, the choices, this is very, very, very important. We are not tied to having, three choices. Like if you begin with three choices and later on there's only two, which I call alternate choice options, you can swap between these two. That's not a big deal, right? What is important though, is that your correct choice and your least correct choice are equally as compelling to somebody who is not familiar with this, who you're trying to like get have an aha for. How do you do this? Well, I gotta tell you guys, you don't come up with compelling choices by talking to a subject matter expert, because usually those people are really focused on what the right answer is. So they'll be great at giving you the right answer. These other choices, you're gonna have to get them from practitioners and people who have recently been in the role of this guy, who's unaware, everything's okay, you know, he's stuck, but he doesn't know it yet, right? A subject matter expert is usually not this person. They're not in the field. They haven't just recently learned this 6 months ago. That's why you got to talk to these people before they got here, because they remember. And what happens is, like I said, when we say there's an obstacle in the way, right, for these people, and they're trying to get to something that they want, the obstacle is usually not a villain. The obstacle is not a dragon or a ninja. The obstacle, like if I talk to you about, especially salespeople, let's say salespeople, I'm really familiar with this. What gets in the way of salespeople's, like them being the top? There's a lot, what you can probably think of this, and it's probably all like mindset, emotion stuff. Some people would rather confidence, right? Some people would rather like seriously lose an arm than speak publicly, right? Like there's all these, why is that? I think I'd rather face a lion than speak publicly, right? Some people would say that because it's not about an external villain. Sometimes it's all internal stuff. So those are the challenges. So that's why this is important. When you get to your string of pearls and this choice here, it's got to represent that lack of confidence, if that's what it is that holds people back. It's got to represent that those thoughts that come up in people's minds that tell them, nah, you're not good enough, or you're going to piss them off. Don't say that. Or that's too pushy. Don't say that, right? You got to have somebody who can give you that context, because that's what makes this a compelling experience, because all of these should be like, oh man, I don't know. And I want them then to have a consequence here. This is key too. Like we talk about this stuff, but very few times have I actually seen it really played out. So the consequences are when you're no longer hand-holding people, you're actually just giving them the action and the result that would happen. And the action and the result is never, never, never good stuff. It's like, imagine if I was tossing a basketball in the air and I did the right kind of toss, right? But before I even saw the basketball get into the basket because I did it accurately, you jump in front of me and say, good job, you did it right. And I'd be like, okay, but I... No, and they're like, no, you followed the right protocol. This is the right protocol. You'd be like, no, I want to see the basketball go in because that's my lesson. That's my satisfaction as well, right? That is... You're robbing me of that if you go to feedback right away. So here, consequence. What actually happens if I say this to somebody? What's the result? This is what's cool. Sometimes, and this is why consequences are like amazing. A lot of people are like, well, if they get the wrong consequence, then they're going to be, you know, they're going to think that that's the right answer. And I'm like, or that's what they're going to remember. And I'm like, if you burnt yourself on an iron and then later saw the iron, would you be all confused and remembering that you burnt yourself on that iron would actually be a bad thing? No, that's how we learn, right? So if somebody's telling you, you can't show people the wrong consequences, that's what they're gonna remember. Well, maybe they should remember it because it'll teach them a lesson. That's how humans learn. You touch the iron, it's hot, okay. Touch the oven, it's hot, okay, right? It's not like I'm gonna be like, oh, what did I do last time? No, I actually want a consequence. And in fact, this is what's cool. In your interactive story, everything is amped up. Everything has to be amped up. Why? Because one, people don't care. Two, you're trying to emotionally connect with them through a freaking computer screen. Not gonna work very well, right? You gotta make it like awesome, like 30% more than you would, because you have to, this is a place where they really, they get to suffer here so they don't have to suffer in the real world. You're doing them a favor. And by being a little too PC in here, you're doing them a disservice, right? So you gotta give them, you know, give them something serious, amp it up. And so the consequences here are really there to teach them those lessons, make them question why they made this choice, right? And then if you want, you can give corrective feedback based on this choice. Look what happened, you know? What do you think? Maybe there's a better way. In fact, the best thing to do is to get them to try it again. That's the beautiful thing. That's what you want to do, right? So now, over the next while, I'm going to be teaching you the mechanics. Now, what's crazy is a lot of people look at mechanics and they're like, yeah, that's enough. I can just add words here, pepper words, and it'll work. No, on the back end, it'll work. But the context, the content, the story, you wrap this in. That is what's going to give you that boom impact, okay? Because seriously, I could pop... Have you ever had a boring VR experience? I have. After the novelty wears off, you know, you're like, oh, what's happening? If there's nothing to do, if there's no goal, if there's no direction, if there's no story, it sucks. So the tech doesn't matter. We build and articulate storyline. That's what our, you know, that's what we craft. And the reason I ask people if they're crafting in articulate storyline is because when they join our community, they get our frameworks and templates in articulate storyline. So it's an instant win for them, right? But trust me, you do this well, you can do this, you can make this work in PowerPoint. And people have in our community, those who don't use Storyline, use PowerPoint. It works. It's about the story, the context, and getting this right. Now, this is what is beautiful. When you've got this built, and you've got this kind of worked out mentally as a pattern for yourself, you can just take this thing, and like I said, reuse it over and over and over and over again. You are no longer stuck to this whole, there's a million assets out there and I gotta dress it all up, dress up the content. Because I gotta tell you, the most sexy thing in the world, the most interesting thing in the world is decision making, right? having decisions. And if you don't know how powerful it is, all you have to do is look up a walkthrough of somebody playing on YouTube the game The Walking Dead, right? Which is based on a comic book. And if you look through those walkthroughs, and this, it breaks so many rules for us. The walkthroughs, sometimes the gameplay lasts for 2 hours, if not longer. Sometimes it's up to about 2 hours. 2 hours. And these people, and they've got millions and millions of views. So there's people out there who have a focus for 2 hours, 7 million of them sometimes, and they're watching. The decisions are so compelling, and it's the same UI over and over, same framework over and over, right? And they're watching somebody else make those decisions. That's how compelling decisions are. So do not underestimate how powerful this is, and don't get lost. Don't get lost in those libraries of assets when really all you need is it's context. If you're trying to find something in those libraries of assets, millions and millions of assets, and how to show this in a cool way with tabs and all this stuff, it's because you're dressing up content. You're not focusing on giving people agency in real situations so they can experience what it's like to make decisions in the context of their job or their work, right? So now, this is one of many, and I'm so excited to share them with you. Now, I hope that the only way to get good at this is you can watch the next 3 weeks of this, right? You're not going to get good at this until you start crafting your own stories. And you can do this on your own time, even. You don't need special software, because like I said, it's the stories, it's the context that makes this real. Building this is easy peasy, seriously. Once you've got the templates, oh my gosh, it's like copy and paste. That's really what we do. And then you add your magic, you know, more mechanics, which are also built into the system, and I'll share with you. So at the end of this, really, you're going to have everything. Now, if you're looking for a guidance getting there faster, and you're actually open to iterating and feedback, then I'd love to talk to you. Because our community is a community of makers. We don't talk about how is this scientifically proven. We don't talk about, you know, is this better? Like, we test it. We test everything. And we say, hey, there are some interactive story frameworks out there that are extremely compelling, that have worked over time, that I've used over and over and over again. And so we start with that, and then we iterate on that model, because the last thing you want to do is start to think you need to reinvent story, because you don't, right? You don't need to do any of that. What you need to do is get the context from the people who have lived it so that you can craft something compelling for your character here, okay? Now, if you want to get there faster and you are looking for the kind of tough love that happens when you reach the next level and actually get real feedback from people who are on the same path as you, I'd love to talk to you. Because one of the things that I found is people want to craft interactive stories, but they don't know how to get started because that's not in their wheelhouse. Like, we don't talk about storytelling and instructional design. We don't talk about pearls anywhere, right? And one of the things that happens is then everything else takes precedence, or you're just looking for like the next shiny object without realizing that you just need one solid interactive story to show people to do more of that work in the future. Seriously. I built one interactive story, Broken Coworker, and it set me up. Like, that's what I could use to say, this is the work that I do. This is the kind of creative work I want to do. And I got to tell you guys, it was life-changing, because for a long time, and you may or may not know this about me, when I went freelance, I was like, man, yeah, I'm going to be able to do the things that I, you know, the creatively I want to do. But then everybody was still coming to me with like these PowerPoint conversion pieces, right? And finally, I was like, is this it? Like, how can I convince people that there's a better way, there's a better framework? And guess what? I did that by creating a story that represented the way I believed learning should be done. And then that just kind of paved the way. Now, I did have a ton of mistakes along the way because I was quite naive about how that would work. But one of the things that I learned is that you really have to systematize and create frameworks for yourselves, because the real work is not this. The real work is what goes in these beats, right? The real work is how do I create a character that people will actually care about, and they'll care about them enough, because this is huge, right? How many times have you started something and never finished because you got bored halfway? Well, that's why this is so important, because you want to craft somebody compelling enough that the story drives them to finish it. It's kind of like, you know, when you sometimes you'll start a movie and you're like, this isn't even that good, but I'll keep on watching it because the story is, they've hacked the story pattern, and now I gotta figure out what I want to know what happens at the end. Ah, right. Oh, they got me. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to hack that system, right? And we're doing it. So I hope you found this useful. If you want to join us, I'll put a link to my calendar underneath this video. If you have any questions about how do you use this, how do you use this fabulous string of pearls, or if you're crafting your own, that'd be awesome. Share that. Make sure you like the video so that you get notified as soon as I post this. I might be changing the time a little bit in the future because I run our coaching sessions on Friday, so I might have to do a little bit earlier. But yeah, I hope that was helpful. Takes off some of the edge, and it answered some of your questions. All right, so I hope you have a fabulous rest of the day, and I hope to talk to you soon. Take care, friends. Bye.
You're listening to the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.